For all of you entrepreneurs and business owners out there, this episode is for you. Have you ever thought about offering health benefits to your employees? Many of you may think it is too expensive. However, group health insurance could actually be an investment that could help you grow your business. Join me today as I talk with independent health insurance agent, Quentin Moses.
Welcome to the Empowerment Zone with Ramona Houston, where we zone in on Black and Brown relations and our journey to empowering our communities.
Quentin tells us all about the value of health insurance and why you, as a business owner, should include it as a part of your business growth strategy. Hi, Quentin. Welcome to the Empowerment Zone.
Oh, thanks for having me, Ramona.
Yes, it's always nice to have an independent health agent to talk to in order to ensure that we have health insurance and that we're making the right decisions as individuals and as business owners. I'm really happy that you've chosen the topic of offering group health insurance can help you to grow your business. I'm really eager to hear your perspective on that topic.
Oh, good. Well,
so before we get started on the topic, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into health insurance?
Well, I might take up all your time. But many moons ago when I was in my 20s, I thought I wanted to be a doctor. So I ended up majoring in biology, going to medical school in Jersey, but got on a path of a naturopathic type path and started a nutritional business, grew that, and ended up as a stockbroker on Wall Street in 1980. And
How did you go from health and wellness to stock being a stockbroker?
Well, actually, what it was back in the late 70s. I was working with a company kind of like an Amway where they had nutritional protein drinks. I mean, you know, that's all over the place. But then that was unheard of. So, you know, you take a couple of protein drinks, take some vitamins and minerals. And I was doing it. I was introduced to it as I was going to a gym. So I was doing it. And as a student, it's like, well, I can save money. I can drink two meals a day and not have to buy it. And this was up in Newark, New Jersey. And my home is in Atlantic City. So, you know, I would do that. And I'd go home maybe every other weekend. And I had lost weight. I lost like 20 pounds and stuff. So when I'd go home, people were like, well, what are you doing? And I told them and they wanted to buy it. So I became a distributor, you know, a network marketing type company. And it was amazing. I'd come home. I kind of felt like a drug dealer. People were buying stuff out of the trunk of my car. But what happened was they lost weight, you know, but not only did they lose weight, but their blood pressure was dropping. They were getting healthier. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I went to my professors. Remember, I'm in New Jersey, the home of the pharmaceutical industry. And I told my professors, I said, you know, we need to be focusing more on nutrition and, you know, things like that. They told me I was hallucinating. So I said, well, wait a minute, I'm making money doing this. And I think you guys are on the wrong track. So I set up a distributorship. This particular company turned out to be one of the fastest growing direct marketing companies ever. And so what happened was the pharmaceutical industry said, well, you know, we can't have people getting healthy for $30 a month. So they came up with something called liquid protein, which you needed a prescription for. It was $300 a month. It was basically poison. It started killing people. And so what happened was we would tell people to use milk, you know, to mix up the protein. And it was liquid protein, and it came out on the market and it was horrible. So it kind of destroyed our business. But I got recruited to Wall Street by a headhunter. And the headhunter said, well, have you ever thought about being a stockbroker? I'm like, what's that? It's, you call up rich people and they send you money and you make money. I'm like, well, I'm on board for that. So I went, the irony of that, and it relates to today, particularly today, is because the only reason that they were looking to hire me was because two Black women were suing, this was Merrill Lynch, because they weren't hiring any women. So Merrill said, okay, we better go out and hire some Black people. So I was part of that group. And we turned out to be as successful or unsuccessful as anybody else out there. So always been quite competitive and it worked out well. So I, you know, when I started, my goodness, 1980, the Dow Jones was 800. I think we're at 35,000 today. And, you know, it's been a great ride. So I worked at a number of firms there, Merrill, Lehman, Blair, bunch of firms, got to meet some great people in New York at that time who were just contemporaries, folks. Al Roker, who was an old friend and client from those days, because he was just kind of getting started. Melvin Van Peebles was another one. You know, a lot of people don't realize he actually had a seat on the Annex Options Exchange.
Mm.
And, you know, it was a small, the Black community, people, doctors, lawyers, Indian chief, artists, we all kind of knew each other and hung out with each other. So we knew each other. And so it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. And networking always worked. So anyway, I stayed there till about 90. Oh, when was it? 98, 99. We were there for the first World Trade Center bombing. And then, you know, one day I looked at the window, we were living in lower Manhattan. And I looked at the window one day and I said to my wife, I said, you know what? I said, I think this stuff is going to blow up, thinking about Wall Street. I said, you know, and they're going to try and blame it on somebody Black. It ain't going to be me. Let's go. I said, let's just go. So we moved to Boca Raton, Florida, and just kind of hung out there. And my wife was an artist, went to Fisk, studied with David Driskell. Again, a lot of fun. And ended up becoming a docent. We got into the art business and started representing some fine artists, some Black fine artists. And I ended up becoming a docent at the Norton Museum, which is one of the finest museums in the Southeast, and met a lot of cool people through doing volunteer work and, you know, with the Deltas. And we represented Tina Allen and the Kinseys, who have a great collection. So it was a lot of fun. I like art, I like business, I like finance. And so I guess maybe about 15 years ago, we came up this way, Florida here, to be near family because folks were getting older. We needed to be closer. And so I guess 2006 or so when we came here, you know, I learned from Wall Street, trying to become an expert in what people don't know about. And I was on Wall Street when Netscape went public and Microsoft and all that. So I'm like, computers are making life easier for people to form businesses. And the one thing people didn't know about was health insurance, you know? So I learned a long time ago, I'm not that smart. So I look for people with very deep pockets who make bets. So Health Markets was being purchased by a private equity group, Goldman Sachs and Goldman, Blackstone, and Credit Suisse, for about $2 billion. And I'm like, you know, those guys aren't stupid. You know, they don't mm-hmm. want to make three, they want to make 10. So I joined them and the company grew. It was really a lot of fun. So got an opportunity, and I'm an independent agent. I haven't had been W-2'd since I was 18 or 19. So I've always been, you know, and I've always been a producer. So if you produce in sales, you'll always have a job. You'll always have work.
You know, your story is so interesting about how you came to Health Markets and came to be an independent health agent. You know, everybody has their own story, but yours, I love it.
It's a heck of a story.
Yeah. So from working on from going to hell to Wall Street to the selling art to health insurance.
And it all plays into what's really going on.
Yes.
Because when we first came to Atlanta, you know, you can't be in the art business unless you know some people and have mm-hmm. some contacts. But in the health insurance business, it was new, and it's one thing that people didn't know about. So you've got people who are under 65 who need health insurance. Most people have group insurance to work, but about 20% of the folks are self-employed and they need to get their own insurance. Then you have people when you get over 65 or over, or if you have certain disabilities, then you need Medicare. That's also kind of a specialty. So I was used to, entrepreneurs like yourself, you know, and very often they start off as one person, and then over time their business grows. So my focus are really on small businesses from 2 to maybe 20 employees, which is 99% of the businesses in America, mm-hmm. and working with them. Technology makes it easier to work because we can do Zoom meetings and things like that. So I'm loving this technology. I'm loving the virtuality of it. But So in this environment, particularly now, we're seeing people, I'm telling you, folks under 30, the last thing they want to do is work for a corporation 30 years. Mm-hmm. They want to start their own business. I think there are infinite possibilities. I'm just very bullish and very excited about the time that we're in. So people, if you want to retain good employees, the number one benefit that people want is health insurance. They really do. That's the number one thing they want. And if you're a small business owner, it's a matter of strategy. As I tell business owners, you know, you're not really buying it for the health insurance. You're really buying it to retain good employees. Because a lot of folks I deal with are in the trades and things like that. And essentially, when you hire somebody, particularly if it's your own business, you're a mentor. You're mentoring this person. So, you know, you're spending a year, 2 years, maybe 3 years, and you're training them to be what you want. And they walk in one day and say, well, guess what? I'm going to your competition because they're offering me health insurance and you're not. So that's the reason you want it in place. So that's been a specialty. There are lots of strategies because you want to have a strategy in mind. Most people think in the individual market about Obamacare, ACA, which has been a godsend. We have record numbers of people signing up this year. Current administration increased the subsidies. So a lot of people, because, you know, administration, if you made $100,000 a year as a family, you didn't get any help. And those plans could cost over $20,000 mm-hmm. a year. Mm-hmm. You know, that's mm-hmm. that's a lot. Mm-hmm. So the subsidies went up and things like that. But when you have group insurance, whether you have two people or 20,000, the rules are the same and you can start it any time of the year. You know, you don't have to wait for November or December or open enrollment to create your own fiscal year. So if you had a business and you said, well, you know, I'd like to start my group plan, you know, May 1st. Well, it would run from May 1st, 2022 to the end of April, 2023. You can start it at any time and then it can, you know, work in with how you're looking to grow your business. And, so it's a matter of strategy. Some people want to jump in. It's like, you know, don't jump in because there are more things involved with the group. You've got to do the same thing that the bigger companies do, and you don't have an HR department and things like that. So take it one step at a time. But it's definitely a strategy. And always you want to use a trusted agent. The health insurance companies pay us, be it Obamacare, be it Medicare, be it group. They pay us commissions. So anybody who's trying to charge you a fee for health insurance is either stupid or a crook. Okay, because we get paid a commission. That's why we have a license. Now, if you go to healthcare.gov, that's a different story. because they're helping you fill out an application. The problem there is they're not entrepreneurs, nor do they know your specific area because they've got to deal with 38 states. So you and I live in metropolitan Atlanta. We kind of know the difference between Duluth and Valdosta. They don't. They don't know Emory Hospital from Northside. They don't know any of that stuff. So they're just trying to help you fill out an application. But when it comes to boots on the ground, like I don't know healthcare in Los Angeles, but I know it really well in Georgia. So that's why you want to get a local agent and someone look at their reviews. You know, you look me up on LinkedIn, you look me up on Facebook, you look me up anywhere and you're going to see, you know, good reviews. Because all of my business is referral. And that's because I do a good job. If I think you got a good plan and I can't do any better, I'm like, keep what you have. And that gives me lots of work.
You know, I didn't realize until you stated that fact is that I was like, when you were talking about your topic being offering group insurance can help you grow your business, my thought was, I wonder what his arguments are on how you can grow your business through health insurance. But it makes so much sense when you stated the fact that employees want to work at a place that provides them great health insurance. That's why business owners should make that investment. You know, a lot of business owners are about, hey, the bottom line, why saving money, you know, saving resources and using them in places you think that are more necessary. But it is necessary when you talk about retaining employees, because it's going to cost you to retrain and find and then retrain another person that you had already spent the time and investment in doing so with someone previously. So it makes so much sense.
You brought out a good point, because when you're replacing an employee, in general, it's 35% of their income is what's going to cost you to find and replace them. Mm-hmm. And just to give you a really good example of a phenomenal success story who did this was Monkey Gym. You know, right here in Atlanta. I mean, they just got bought for some insane amount of money.
Yeah,
$15 billion or something. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Let me, you know what, you know how
MailChimp.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
MailChimp. I don't know why I call them monkeys. MailChimp. but MailChimp paid 100% of the healthcare costs for all of the employees. Right. So by law, in Georgia anyway, you as the employer have to pay half the amount for, you know, your employee. And most people don't realize how much the employer is picking up until they leave the job and they go on COBRA and they go, COBRA's expensive. It's like, no, that's the real price. But, you know, companies that really want to retain those people, and that's what they did. You know, those people were really, really loyal to them. And worked hard. And I think that's why they got such a high valuation. Probably getting stock in the company didn't hurt either.
And so it helps you to retain employees. And so that's the number one reason any business would want to have a group health insurance. But I also like the point you were making about developing a strategy. So many times people just jump into whatever they're doing and not really, really creating a plan. And that's, so in terms of a strategy, you mentioned several points, you know, understanding that you can start at any time of the year. So you shouldn't feel pressured to just start today. You should start when it's good for you during the year. Use a trusted agent who understands, and you stated local agent, a trusted local agent who understands the laws and the unique situation you are in your state and city. What other recommendations are there for a strategy in terms of adding group health insurance to your business?
I think an important part is looking at supplemental insurance, because a lot of people, particularly young people who are under 30. And what happens is, you know, this is their first time kind of maybe working or something like that. And if the employer says to them, well, we're, you know, help paying for your health insurance, they think everything is free. Like, no, you have these things called deductibles, you have these things called co-pays, you have all these other things. And most people don't have a whole bunch of money sitting there. So let me give you a fact. 68% of bankruptcies in the United States are health related. Kind of makes a lot of sense. Let me ask you a question, Mark. What do you think the average size of that bankruptcy is for someone who has a medical bankruptcy?
I would think it's about $100,000.
$15,000.
Oh my.
$15,000. So with when you have group insurance or ACA, the rules are the same. The federal government sets up the rules. So let's say you're a 35-year-old person. It doesn't matter if you're man or woman, because they used to charge women more than men. That's illegal. Now, if you smoke, they charge a little bit more, but it doesn't matter if you have stage four cancer or ran 18 marathons, you know, it's the same. Now, the Georgia premium is going to be less than California, but it's just. So right now, in 2022, for one person, the out-of-pocket max is $8,700. Meaning if you have a $100,000 bill, that's the most you can owe. Now, for a family, it's twice that amount. So if you're a husband and wife or a parent with, you know, a couple of kids or whatever, and you're in a car accident, your out-of-pocket is $16,000. Nine times that, 68% of the time, you don't have that money. So I also teach them, let's look at something. There are a variety out there, but, you know, Aflac's in the group market. There are other supplements out there. The whole idea is to cover those out-of-pocket costs, because most people aren't. Now, a business owner, yeah, they usually are pretty savvy and have some savings, but most people don't have that. So that's something to take very seriously.
Yes, supplemental insurance would be something you would want to take seriously, especially when you consider that people are filing bankruptcy over $15,000. I mean, that's incredible. I would have thought it was much higher than that.
I thought that was the case too. And there are also other strategies. You know, most the big companies, you get a Chick-fil-A or Coca-Cola or something. I mean, they are huge companies. They have HR departments. They have like all kinds of stuff. But what people don't realize is those companies are self-insured. In other words, the insurance companies aren't underwriting them. They're just managing them. So, you know, Coca-Cola and places like that, they know the health of their employees. So maybe pre-COVID, that's why they would have gyms and things like that, pay people to quit smoking and all these things. Because they realize if they stay healthy, they can keep their costs. So there are two types of group insurance. It used to be you needed to be pretty big to do this. So one is called self-underwritten or level funded. And the big companies have been doing this for years. But up until a couple of years ago, you couldn't do it unless you had 10, 20 employees. Now you can do it with as little as two. But what's amazing is the same company, you know, same company, same deductible, same out-of-pocket max, same copay, same network. The difference in premium between a fully insured plan and a level funded plan can be up to 60% less. Now, why? Right? It's kind of like going into Bergdorf's or something and seeing that $5,000, you know, suit that's on sale for like, wait. So here's five. And this is a mind-boggling number, but you wrap your head around. For people under 65 in the United States, 5% of the people make 95% of the claim. So 95% of the people only make 5% of the claims. Now, those 5% of the people tend to be really sick. So if you've got cancer or heart, you know, those sorts of things. So if you can take care of yourself, in other words, don't be overweight, eat right, exercise, keep your blood pressure low, because you can be 35 years old and get away with that stuff, but if you're 100 pounds overweight, not exercising, you're going to have heart disease in 5 years, 10 years, probably got it now, right? Mm-hmm. Insurance companies will come in and do a little bit of underwriting and say, well, wait a minute, you're 95%, we'll knock off some money. And so again, if you think you know how to do it on your own, that's why I don't do neurosurgery, because I'm not a neurosurgeon. All right? So don't do this stuff on your own. They're going to sell you the most expensive thing that's profitable for them. Because a lot of folks don't specialize in this small group. I really like the small group. I don't like the big group. I don't want people with 50 or 100 or 500. I really like the small group. So, saving that kind of money is huge. The other thing is, when you have group insurance, all of your costs are pre-tax. If you think about group plans that you've had, the money that they take out of your paycheck comes out of your paycheck before you pay taxes. Mm-hmm. So even if you had the exact same plan as an individual, it's going to cost more money because it's after tax. So group has, that's a huge, it's the biggest tax shelter in the United States, group health. Hmm.
This is good information. And that is why knowledge is power, right? When you have knowledge, when you're educated about a particular subject matter, you can make better decisions. But moreover, when you have an expert in that subject matter, they can help you to make even better decisions. And that's why someone like you would be so valuable to small business owners. So thank you so much for sharing this wealth of information on why group insurance can help individuals, entrepreneurs grow their business, and why it's so important to offer it to your employees. Thank you so much for sharing.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
So we've reached our college strategies portion of our interview. And Quentin, could you tell us what college or colleges did you attend? What were your majors and degrees? And what strategy would you offer students to ensure that they're successful in college?
Oh, okay. So I went to a community college. I'm from Atlantic City, New Jersey. Mm-hmm. I went to Atlanta Community College for 2 years, a year. And then I transferred to Livingston College, which is, at that time, the co-ed part of Rutgers up in New Brunswick. And there I majored in biology. And one of my mentors when I was growing up was a doctor. So I wanted to be a doctor. So I ended up going to the College of Medicine and Dentistry. And ended up up in Newark, New Jersey, at the College of Medicine. And we kind of talked about this before, led to that, to being having a nutrition business in Wall Street. But the key to all of that is network. Like, you have to network. Because you have to. Can't do it by yourself. You need other people. And you always have to be honest. You always have to tell the truth. You lying will get you in trouble all the time. Okay? You will get caught lying. We have there's a number of folks out there who are caught lying right now. So any way you can, volunteering. It's a great way of doing that. Internship is a great way of doing that. Because I tell people money doesn't exist. The belief in money exists, but money doesn't exist. So the only real currency, as far as I'm concerned, is spiritual, which is karma. So when you do more for folks than you do for yourself, it's going to come back at you 1,000-fold. So kind of keep that in mind. Always be out there. If you can volunteer for anything, by all means, and then you'll meet. And if you need something or you don't know something, ask. Mm-hmm. Can you help? Can I help you? Can we work together? Things like that. And I do it constantly. I network constantly through chambers and associations, LinkedIn. I think that's unbelievable from a business standpoint, because I think that's where people are doing a lot of business in terms of networking and community. So that's what I would tell them.
These are great pieces of advice. Network. It matters who you surround yourself with. So make sure you surround yourself with like-minded people. Always be truthful, because that lie can eventually get you in trouble. Volunteer and get in and participate in internships, but which is really part of gaining experience in your various fields. Ask if you want something, need something, or even if you want to help somebody, ask. And then lastly, and probably most importantly, be a giver, because there is that spiritual law of karma, and what you give always comes back to you. Thank you so much, Quentin. It's been a pleasure talking to you. You're always welcome to be a guest on the Empowerment Zone.
Thank you so much.
A special thank you to the incredible team of the Empowerment Zone. Terry Ungully, theme song. NADWORKS, digital support. And of course, our featured guest.
If you enjoyed my podcast, please subscribe. We are on all of your favorite podcast platforms. Be sure to rate us on Apple Podcasts too. Thank you for your continued support.